Imagine being a person with a visual impairment in Cairo, Egypt, where there are a lot of sidewalks that turn into no sidewalk, and there are ways of driving that may or may not have rules, and the city goes to not city areas really quickly. But there are no orientation and mobility specialists. Luckily, there is a program in Egypt that is developing the very first orientation and mobility specialists. And we get to sit down today with the very first internship supervisor, who's actually from Phoenix, our good friend Jay Whipple, as he shares what it was like to pioneer that program.
Welcome to A Step Forward, a podcast for ambitious VI specialists who are challenging the status quo. I'm Cassie Maloney, your new work bestie. With over 15 years of experience as an O&M specialist, author, professional development junkie, mom, and owner of Allied Independence, I have been through the ringer. And now I'm here to bring you a boost of inspiration, information, and our favorite, innovation, as we trade feeling overwhelmed for overjoyed while we create a significant impact in the lives of our learners and still lead more balanced, fulfilling lives. So grab your favorite beverage because we're about to take a step forward.
Welcome back to the podcast, my friend. I'm so glad that you are here today. I've been loving getting to chat with people all around the world who are doing fantastic things in orientation and mobility and pioneering the entire program and helping to supervise new orientation and mobility specialists, the very first orientation and mobility specialists in the country in Egypt. I mean, talk about big things. In this episode with Jay, we are going to cover what the Basira Foundation is doing and how they work, and also talk about how you can take what you learn in orientation and mobility school, like from your university, and apply it to every single situation that you find yourself in all around the world. Jay graduated from the University of Arizona in 2005 with his master's, and he has been teaching O&M continuously since that time. He's presented nationally and internationally on a variety of O&M topics. He currently lives in Chandler, Arizona with his wife, his daughter, and his dog, Booker. I can't wait for you to get to know Jay a little bit, and I hope that this inspires you to not just look at, you know, your situation and your environment at that moment and think, oh, I wish that this were different, but to think, how can I adapt what I already know to this environment to make it work for me? Welcome, Jay. I'm so grateful to be able to connect with you again and also to be able to hear about your time in Cairo teaching O&M. But first, would you please share a little bit about yourself with our audience?
Yes, thank you. It's nice to talk to you again as well. My name is Jay Whipple. I'm a certified O&M specialist in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I graduated in 2005 from the University of Arizona with my master's in O&M, and I've been teaching O&M continuously ever since that time to adults and children in a whole variety of settings, so schools and agencies, as well as in a private practice. And I absolutely love teaching O&M, but I also love mentoring new O&M teachers and trying to help grow the profession, especially internationally, which is why I wanted to be part of this Egypt experience.
That's really exciting. So walk me through you deciding even that you wanted to teach O&M abroad. What did that look like for you?
If I remember correctly, I saw an ad through ACVREP's website that was posted by the Basira Foundation, which is the organization that hosted me in Cairo. And they were searching for someone to try and come and serve as an internship supervisor for a cohort of new O&M students at the university that they had there. And so they had developed a partnership with Western Michigan University, with Dr. Emerson there, and also a university called Esleska University, which I believe is based in France, but they have a major campus in Cairo. And so they had developed this diploma program to have O&M specialists because there are currently none in Egypt. And the woman who helped develop the project, she at one time was a certified O&M specialist. She trained in Canada and lived and worked in Canada, but eventually moved back to her home in Egypt and never renewed her certification, which is why she needed someone who was certified to come and work on them. So that's where I came in. The students had been working on their diploma program for more than a year and taking all of their coursework. And by the time I arrived in August of this year, they still had a couple courses they were finishing up, but they were ready to begin their internships. And so I stepped in and was able to supervise that cohort of students. I actually was also very fortunate to be able to teach one of the courses for Isleska University, which was an adapted arts and sports course for that group as well.
Wow. Okay, so how long were you in Egypt for?
So I arrived on the 11th of August, and I left on the 21st of October. So it was 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely fascinating and an incredible experience to be able to do that.
And then you were there to help them through their internships.
Right.
But how did you even create internships? Because like here in the United States, you go and you mentor under somebody who's already teaching, and then you eventually take over their caseload. But if there isn't anybody teaching the profession, how do you take over a caseload? Like, what did that even look like?
So the Basira Foundation really is a remarkable organization. There's really nothing else like it in Egypt. And my guess is probably nothing like it anywhere in the Middle East. And so the woman who started Basira, again, like I said, she used to be an O&M specialist. And so she started the organization. Her name is Doaya Mabrook. And so she has a huge caseload of clients that come to Basira. It's an NGO, and they sort of just work off of donations and grants and things of that nature. She's very resourceful and connected to a variety of government ministries as well. So they are providing services, but not by anyone who is certified. And in fact, I would shout out to the two people there at Basira. One is Moshira and the other one is Ahmed, who are sort of agency trained. And they've been kind of teaching O&M just out of necessity because of being trained by just on the job. But they knew that this is not sustainable, that they need certified professionals to grow the profession and make it sustainable and move forward. And that's why they created this partnership with Western Michigan and Isleska University. So when I arrived, they definitely had a caseload, but there wasn't much of a structure on how it was going to be done. So one of the first things that we did, I think it was day two or three that I was there, we just had this marathon all day long kind of assessment period where families were bringing their children and their spouses all to the locations. And we were just assessing them as much as we could to sort of get a sense of what their needs and strengths were and where we needed to go and to kind of divide up the caseload among the cohort of students. And from there, I worked closely with every one of the students in the cohort to help them kind of develop teaching strategies and plans, but also adapt the way that we as American O&M teachers think about O&M to the reality of Cairo, because it's a much different urban environment than what we're used to. So the cohort had 14 students in it. 10 of them finished their internships, 4 did not. And they've also already started the second cohort who are doing their coursework at the university, so that hopefully by next year, either me or someone else can come again and help to supervise that group as well. So it is, like you said, it's not the way you and I probably did our internships, but we had to sort of build it on from scratch. And we also had the support of Dr. Emerson at Western Michigan University.
Gotcha. Well, it's incredible that you guys had a cohort of 14 students. Was this their first time running this program?
Yes, it was. And these students were really remarkable, very accomplished professionals already in a variety of fields. A few of them have PhDs and are professors at universities. One of them is a medical physician, just working across a variety of fields. Some of them were parents of children with visual impairments who realized there are no services in Egypt. And if we don't do this ourselves, no one will. The other thing that's remarkable to me is just sort of the resilience of Basira, working in a very bureaucratic system that doesn't always recognize the necessity for these kinds of programs. So on top of building their organization and building this program and trying to introduce O&M as a profession in Egypt, they're also constantly working to raise awareness of what visual impairment is and what accessibility means. You know, a good example was I asked if we could take students to a mall and just do mall lessons. Like we all do that here in the United States. It took us a month to get approval from security at the mall to even allow our students to come into the building.
Wow.
So there's just so many things that you're facing there, and they're fighting all of this all at once and doing a remarkable job as well in order to just build this from the ground up. And we worked in a huge variety of settings. We had a very similar experience with trying to get approval to do a lesson in the subway, which again, as you know, as an American O&M specialist, we think public transportation, we do those lessons all the time. It's just part of the playbook. But again, it just takes a lot of prior approval because awareness of visual impairment isn't what it is. And I think there's still a lot of sentiment from government agencies and organizations like, oh no, what if this person gets injured or something? And so you have to get these prior approvals in order to do things that would would be very run-of-the-mill lessons for us in the United States. But, you know, we were able to do them. It takes a lot of advanced planning and notice to do it. The other thing I would say is that I was also very fortunate in that all of the students in the cohort do speak English. The program is being taught in English because I don't speak Arabic. And so whenever we needed interpreters, we always had people available for us. But for the most part, it was all being done in English. And I know that they are working to translate this entire program so that they will eventually be able to have an Arabic language cohort as well.
Very cool. Well, I had asked about the, you know, the amount of students that were going through the cohort and if it was the first time, because we had, I think, 14 or 16 students just in my TVI cohort. I think we had like maybe 8 in my O&M, and that was at a very prominent university. So that just is really proof in the pudding as to how good of a job that they're doing with their outreach and also the services that they are providing at that organization. So walk me through what maybe like a day in your life looked like when you were supervising that internship.
The Basira Foundation has 3 locations. So there are 2 in Cairo, 1 in a neighborhood called Doki, another one in a neighborhood called Heliopolis. And then their 3rd location is actually in Alexandria. So on any given day, we would sort of pre-plan. So they would say, Jay, you're going to be in Heliopolis today. And so we would divide the cohort of students by those 3 locations. You know, one day I'd go to one location, the next day I'd go to the next location, and I didn't go to Alexandria quite as often because it's a 3-hour drive from Cairo, but I went there as much as possible. And then we would communicate by text and WhatsApp and a variety of sources in the mornings and in the evenings. Students would send me videos so if I wasn't able to be there on the day that they were teaching, they would send me a video of what they were teaching. And so I could offer feedback, and they would also send me their lesson plans in advance. So I could say, okay, I think this is a good plan, or I could give them feedback and help them kind of develop what they wanted to do. So I would go to that organization, you know, whichever site I was going to in the morning, and I would work with the students all throughout the day. And there'd be 3 or 4 members of the cohort at each place. And I'd work with one for an hour and then take to the next student and do another one. And so it was a constant, like, I was observing a lesson pretty much all the time, so trying to offer feedback as much as possible as well. I was also preparing presentations. I did presentations at a huge variety of organizations and locations while we were there to try to also help with the awareness piece, but also help Basira sort of grow its voice a little bit as well. So it was a very busy time, but it was great. You know how when you're super busy and time just flies by and you're doing something really meaningful? So it just was really remarkable to meet the families and meet the students. We also did a few different actual camps where we traveled to various locations. We went to a place by the Red Sea, and we brought pretty much all the clients of Basira and their families. And we did this camp called Me and My Family. So we were able to get lots of hours in because we'd have nice long days to teach, and we were all in one place. So that on those days, I was able to see the entire cohort. But I was also able to do sessions, like kind of question and answer sessions with the families and parents, and help them understand what cane training is all about and what O&M is all about. And the thing that I think would be most different about teaching there and O&M there in general is that I think in the United States, we get very comfortable with the idea that we have a super strong organized IEP team that has an OT and a PT and a TBI and an O&M and a speech therapist, and everybody has their own little individual roles, and we all kind of know what each of those roles are. But they don't have that luxury in Egypt. The lines between O&M and TBI and PT start getting kind of blurred, because if you don't teach somebody something simple about like how to wash their dishes, no one's going to. So as an O&M specialist, you're also teaching these sort of daily living skills and, you know, things about like, how do you fold your clothes and do your laundry? And how do you cross a street where there are basically no traffic rules? Traffic is insane in Cairo, and everyone just sort of drives wherever they want to. I'm sure there are some set of rules that I never really understood, but understanding that like the way we view the accessibility of an environment in the United States is drastically different there. And just realizing that the beauty of O&M isn't that you have to have a perfect environment. It's that you analyze an environment and then you use what you know about O&M to make that environment work for you. It was really very like confirming for me too, to see like, wow, everything they've taught us about O&M and everything I've ever learned about O&M does work somewhere else, even if you don't have a perfect sidewalk with truncated domes and accessible pedestrian signals and all of those kinds of things. In fact, many times in Egypt, it's vastly simpler for a student to just walk in the street than it is to even attempt to try to use what's called a sidewalk there, because there'll be huge hazards and obstacles and things just in your way on the sidewalk, if a sidewalk exists at all. I also feel like where I teach here in the Phoenix area, it's a very kind of suburban city area. And it's, you know, a lot of times it's very quiet streets, even if it's a major thoroughfare where there's not a lot of traffic because it's the middle of the day. But in Cairo, it's constant traffic. It's constant sounds and stimulation coming from all areas. And so being able to help a student and help the cohort teach their students to synthesize all of this sensory information at once, and realize like you are getting tactile information from a cane, and you're probably getting smells of all kinds from all sorts of different sources, and you're getting all sorts of auditory information just because it's coming from all sides at all times. Cars are constantly honking and beeping their horns, and people are speaking, and there's music coming out of buildings and all kinds of things. Even that there's a call to prayer five times a day that's coming. And so you're getting all of this information all the time, and being able to synthesize that into a process that allows you to safely navigate through your environment is really wonderful.
Yeah. You mentioned something that I kind of want to go back to. You mentioned that the beauty of O&M, you know, isn't, I'm going to paraphrase horribly, but it's that you can use what you know of O&M to make the environment work for you, and the environment doesn't have to be built around, you know, whatever the red book says or the blue book. And that's not what you said, you know, but that's kind of how my brain is putting it together. And I think that you're right, there's so much beauty in being able to take the skills that you've been taught and adapt them to whatever is in front of you right now. As far as traveling in Cairo, you've already touched on some of the challenges. Do you have any specific, you know, examples of a time that a student of yours really impressed you? Like there was a big obstacle in front of them and they just did such a great job?
I'd have to think about something specific, but I would say one of the things that impressed me the most that seemed to happen frequently was the fact that there are a lot of things that will be in your path one day that will not be there the next day. And so people may have parked their delivery truck right in front of your starting point on this day, but the next day there might be somebody parked there, but it could be a motorcycle that's running. So not only are you hearing the sound of the engine, but there's exhaust coming out of it. One of the Basira locations is located next to a chicken shop where you have live chickens running around on the sidewalk in front of you. And so you might come outside and realize there's chickens here and they weren't here yesterday, and I can smell the chickens and I can hear the chickens, and the chickens might react to my cane. And so what really impressed me, I would say, about the way students were learning was their ability to adapt to a constantly changing environment. And, you know, I tell all of my students, like, I can't go with you to every street you'll ever cross. Like, it's impossible. But as an O&M specialist, what we're trying to teach you is a process to use at every street you'll ever cross. And so being able to emphasize that in Egypt to say, hey, look, this isn't about every single place that you come to. It's about developing processes and strategies that you'll use in situations, and then getting experience that you can draw on to say, oh, yeah, I remember that day the chickens were there, and this is how I sort of navigated that situation. And what impressed me so much was the way that so many of the students were able to do that so quickly. And I would also note very simple things that we take for granted here in the United States, like the availability of a cane. The overwhelming majority of the clients and students there don't have a cane of their own, or if they do, it's some really kind of cheap, wonky thing that they got off of Amazon, or it's not made by like Ambutech or Revolution or some company that we know and trust. There's a lot of really poorly made aluminum canes I saw canes with wooden tips and all kinds of crazy things that just fall apart, and their sizes might be off or they get bent. And so the idea that you can learn to use a tool that's really not ideal, if you even have that, and still be able to develop these processes and, you know, generalize what you've learned to new environments is really, really impressive. Especially, I would also note that they're doing this through translation, because the students that I was mentoring, I was speaking English to them and they had learned their program in English and now have to give this instruction to a student in Arabic. And so that is remarkably impressive. And I just commend the students for the work they're doing.
So after the program, what is next for them? They are forging the way into O&M.
Right.
How are they doing that? And is it on their shoulders, or does Basira have help?
Well, Basira and I are still communicating on a very regular basis. So even when I came home, I've been communicating back and forth with them and helping them to try to kind of keep things organized. The cohort that the 10 students that finished are now in a process of studying for the certification exam. And I will try to help them with that as much as possible as well, you know, through study groups and things of that nature. There's a massive time difference. Cairo is 10 hours ahead of Phoenix, Arizona. So we have to find the little sweet spots in the morning and the evening when we can all sort of connect at the same time. But that's the sort of next step, is they're working on taking the certification exam and going on from there. And like I said, they've already started the second cohort of students at Aslesca University who will need to do an internship in the future as well. So the hope is that, and this is what I told them when I first began to speak to Basira more than a year ago about this project, was that I'm not going to come to Egypt and just be there and supervise your group and make it a one-off thing. Like, my goal is to help you develop a way so that you can eventually not need to send for an American to do this. You can do this yourself. You'll have your own certified people who can supervise the next group and the next group. And so we had lots of discussions as a group about just that very thing. I said, you are the profession in Egypt. You are the ones who someday there'll be Egyptian O&M textbooks with your names in them, because you are the ones who built the profession here in Egypt from scratch. And I'm so very, very honored to have played even a tiny part in that, to help them do that. Because, you know, I've always felt a sort of ethical obligation that to, of course, teach my students, but to help grow O&M, because I feel like our profession is constantly feels as if it's on the verge of collapsing. Like, not enough people come into it and not enough people care about it. And I even understand that to a point. It's an obscure profession that doesn't really affect you unless it does. But I also think that one of the greatest ways to strengthen our profession is to grow it outside of the United States. Right now, we're very self-contained and we all kind of know each other and we all sort of work in a very perfect bubble here in the United States. But that doesn't change the reality that there are people with visual impairments everywhere, and they need to be able to travel around their environments just as much as anyone else. We can't wait for those environments to be designed for them. You have to, like, teach them now. And so I am very excited that this is the beginning of a process, but I am also confident that it's not the ending, that it will continue.
That's so exciting. So they right now are studying for their certification to become comms, I assume.
Right.
Yeah. And then they'll move on to being teachers, but how will they get jobs?
There's a few possible ways. I think several of them will, in fact, several of them already work for Basira. Mm-hmm. And I think Basira initially will be the organization that employs O&M specialists in Egypt. And Basira is growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, I mentioned that they have 3 locations, but I'm sure that they'll have more locations very soon. I know that they're talking about locations in other areas as we speak. I also know that the need for services in Egypt is astronomical, like, it's super high. Outside of the mentorship, I had long discussions with the leadership at Basira on ways to, about like their strategic future and thoughts that I had on how they could begin to grow their organization. And I would use this moment right now to tell anyone that's listening, please check out their website and reach out to them. There's probably an opportunity in the future as an O&M specialist to help them. I know with certainty that they will need another person next year. And at this time, I'm not certain I can go again, but I'm going to try to do it. But I also want to make sure that I'm helping them recruit someone who can, because, you know, O&M is something that's so urgent everywhere. And there are just so few of us that teach it.
Well, it sounds like it was a great experience, that Basira is doing amazing work in Egypt and really growing our profession. And I can see how that cycle would work, where they already have the clientele and they would be the ones hiring orientation and mobility specialists and can really grow this profession from the ground up. Like you said, when you said that, I got goosebumps because it's so true. And I really hope that they do. And I really hope that they really run with it and are able to overcome the obstacles that are coming their way. Because, you know, as we solve one set of problems, there are always the next set, and they have their work cut out for them. But it sounds like the cohort is in good hands. I want to give you an opportunity to share anything else about your time there or about the program that I didn't ask you yet.
I would say I'd share a little bit more about what Basira is. So Basira in Arabic means inner vision. Mm-hmm. I may not have perfectly translated that, but so in addition to O&M, they are teaching Braille They have a full service eye clinic with an ophthalmologist on staff who is working there. So it's a very comprehensive agency, and they're working with children through adults while simultaneously working with the sort of bureaucracy that is the Egyptian government. And I don't know enough about the Egyptian government to really make any statements about it. I just know that it's big and complicated, and there's a lot of agencies that you have to kind of know people. Dawaya Mabrook is absolutely brilliant in her ability to see the way through those things and make the right connections in order to grow the organization. Her background, and I wish she were here to speak for herself, but you know, the reason she moved to Canada and studied O&M was because she has a son with a visual impairment. And when he was born in Egypt, she thought, there's nothing here, I can't get the services. So she went to Canada and she learned how to be an O&M specialist there. She got her master's degree while she was there, but eventually returned back to Egypt. But her son is hugely successful. He lives and works in the United States now and has worked, you know, at all sorts of different levels and is hugely successful. And so I think what I would say is it just reminds me again of just how all-encompassing our profession is. The other thing that I constantly thought about was the expanded core curriculum. Whenever I think about the expanded core curriculum and I think about the components of the expanded core curriculum, I think every single one of those is what we as O&M specialists are teaching in almost every lesson. And that really hit home with me in Egypt, that just the need to touch on nearly every aspect of life, because if we don't do it, and if that cohort doesn't do it, no one will. And eventually they will, I believe, have a TVI program as well. I don't think they've quite gotten to that place yet, but that growth is there. And again, I would say to anyone that's listening, please check out BasiraFoundation.org, because they are just an incredible organization.
Awesome. And we will link their website in the show notes so that anybody who's interested can go and check it out and see if there's somebody else who wants to help out in the summer. If you can't this year, Jay, then maybe somebody who's listening will be able to do that. Well, as we wrap up, I want to end our podcast episode first with a thank you. This was so cool and interesting to get to know about and to be able to hear how things work in Cairo and all of the great work that that NGO is doing. If you were to give our community one piece of advice to help them take a step forward into being better orientation and mobility specialists, what would you say?
I would say be adaptable and understand that it's not so much about teaching exactly the way we learned it in grad school. It's about analyzing the environment and your students' abilities and finding a way to make it work, and understand that it's never going to be perfect. But that, like I said, is the beauty of O&M. What we teach is generalizable. We teach processes. I always say it's the process, not the product. It is the thing that allows us to help our students go to a place that we can't go to with them.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for sharing all of your knowledge and expertise, Jay. It has been so wonderful to chat with you today.
Thank you so much for asking me.
Impactful VI specialists are changing the way that we do things. The old way is no longer acceptable, and we get to decide how we're going to make more impact without burning ourselves out. I'm so grateful that you've taken the time to listen to this podcast. I would love it if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or if you even just came and hung out with us on social media. I'm at Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me at Allied Independence. I'd love to hear from you in my DMs. Let me know how you liked this episode and anything that you took away from it. Until next week, just remember that all you have to do is take a step forward.